Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the Purdue University Global Collegiate Entrepreneurs Podcast. The mission of the Purdue University Global Collegiate Entrepreneurs is to carry out the mission of the national chapter, which is to inform, support, and inspire college students to be entrepreneurial and seek opportunity through enterprise creation. With the diverse entrepreneurial community and global network, CEO provides student entrepreneurs with opportunities, events, chapter activities, and conferences to help start businesses. Well, today we got a great podcast. We're meeting with entrepreneur and founder of the barbecue cleaner, Jeffrey Krentzman. And Jeff is going to discuss what are some of the pros and cons you encounter in being your own boss, what's the hardest part of starting a business, and what advice would Jeff give to those individuals looking to just get started. And let's go right into our interview with Jeffrey Krentzman, the founder and CEO and entrepreneur of Barbecue.
Marty, thanks for having me. Hope all is well with you.
Oh, all is well, Jeff. Thanks. Well, I'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from this morning, Jeff?
We're calling from northern New Jersey, about 15 minutes outside of Manhattan, give or take the traffic, of course.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm not that far from you, so I can kind of guess what the weather is there today. It's kind of like traces of fall, isn't it?
I tell you, we were riding a good streak for a while, but Mother Nature always wins in the end, and you can tell what's coming now as the weather has turned on us.
That is so true. You know, when I read about your story, Jeff, I mean, I was so impressed because, you know, I had a conversation with you before the show, and I mentioned to you, you know, that this was just, it was one of those ideas that I said, wow, I wish I thought about that. You know, and about twice a year, we'll have a show that just specifically focuses on entrepreneurship because, you know, a lot of our listeners, we call them aspiring franchipreneurs, you know, they think they want to get into franchising, but, you know, they don't really think about all, like, you know, the pros and cons about getting into their own business. And I thought your story was very interesting. I thought, you know, maybe we'll go back to the beginning. You can talk a little bit about your background and let us know how you specifically got into entrepreneurship.
Sure. I graduated from Boston University in 2002, and when I was there, I read a book called The Cash Flow Quadrant, which kind of got me turned on to the whole concept of entrepreneurship. And I kind of knew I wanted to do my own thing, and upon graduation, I decided to not go the entrepreneur route at first and get a corporate America job.
Right.
And I absolutely hated every minute of it. And at 23, I decided to leave my job with nothing, you know, lined up or anything and said, look, if I'm going to do something in my life, now is a wonderful time to do it. I'm not married.
Yeah.
And I've got plenty of time to recover if I do it wrong. So,
sure.
You know, at that point, I looked to do my own thing and read about this concept that you just mentioned a minute ago, the barbecue cleaner.
Right.
In an international franchise magazine. They were doing a very similar concept in the United Kingdom under the brand name Ovenu. And
right.
What we decided to do was do a six-month pilot test here in Bergen County, New Jersey, where we would see if it worked, and if it worked, you know, great, we would obviously continue it. But if it didn't, you know, because it was a pilot test, we didn't have these long-term contractual obligations, if
I
you will.
I see.
So we could kind of go a different direction if it didn't work. But, you know, really within weeks of running the first ads, you know, now 10 and a half years later, it just never stopped. It just continues to grow. So that is definitely something we're pretty proud of, and
right,
a little into my background, I guess, how I got started into it.
I mean, and the market is huge, isn't it, Jeff? I mean, when you think of, you know, barbecues, you know, I mean, most people, I imagine, they hate cleaning their barbecues, right? So, I mean, the market's
right.
Got to be huge in the United States. I mean, and I guess internationally as well. I mean, it's really an international concept, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're right, Marty. I mean, it's no different than, you know, nobody likes to cut their grass, but they'll gladly
mm-hmm.
pay someone to do it for them. Nobody likes in the Northeast where you and I are to shovel their driveway. And there's plenty of people that will outsource the work to someone else. And nobody likes to clean their grill. So there's plenty of people that will, you know, pay our nationwide fleet to do it for them. And the other thing you have to keep in mind nowadays is, you know, a lot of people have grills or outdoor kitchens that are, you know, $8,000 or $10,000. They're not going to throw it out
right.
every year. It's got to get cleaned. And we're there to do it for them.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, having someone like yourself on the show, Jeff, it's a good opportunity for me to ask, you know, what are the pros and cons from your experience that you've encountered in being your own boss? Because a lot of the listeners to our show, you know, through doing market research over this, we find that, you know, a lot of people are really first time, they're considering being first time business owners. So they're very trepidatious about like moving forward. So, I mean, if you had to give the pros and the cons of being your own boss, what would you say?
Sure. You know, the pros, I think there's a ton of pros. I mean, for me on a personal level, I always look at it and say the greatest thing about what I do is that I set my own hours and the amount of time I get with my kids. I have a little personal information. I have a 5- and 3-year-old, you know, so I get to be with them for breakfast every day, drive them to school.
That's
I'm at dance in the afternoon and gymnastics. And, you know, these are things that if I worked in, you know, corporate America or had a really 9-to-5 job, there's no way in the world I'd ever get to experience these things with my kids. I'm also the class parent in my daughter's kindergarten class.
Wow.
I go on trips with all the kids. So to me, that's, I mean, far and away the number one advantage. But some of the other ones, yeah. You know, you set your own schedule, which I always think is great. You know, you get to make the decisions yourself, which can be viewed as a challenge. But, you know, I think a lot of people prefer to have destiny in their own hand and be the one calling the shots.
Yeah.
And with your own business, you know, it's pretty important that you do that. You know, you also set your own kind of environment and where you work from, you know, whether you want to have a job where you work from home. You know, so many people nowadays, obviously, with the power of technology, can work from home, which
sure.
is really cool, and not deal with commuting, which, you know, you and I in the Northeast, Marty, would love not ever
exactly.
do.
Right, absolutely.
With the way traffic is for you and I.
You know,
and then also, I think controlling your financial future. You know, if you work a 9-to-5 job, you kind of probably have a situation where you have a steady salary, and you know, there's not much more than that you can do in a year. But when you're your own business, you know, your financial potential is completely different. It's all in your hands, and it's all how you play your cards. And if you play your cards right, you know, you obviously can do very well. So making those decisions are key. Some of the cons, you know, you're married to your job. It's not
right.
a 9-to-5,
you yeah.
know. I'm sure you're like me. You're getting stuff as an entrepreneur, Marty, 7 days a week,
sure.
sometimes 2. And, you know, you're the head honcho. So if there's a problem, you got to figure out how to fix it. You can't kind of turn it on to a boss at a higher level. You are that person. You know, your customers are your boss. You know, you've got to
mm-hmm.
be able to have the good relationships with all of them. In a lot of cases, if you don't have investors, as you know, you're spending your own money, which can be frightening to people, can be a con in the beginning. You know, definitely not a pro. And you earn what you earn. You know, that can be a con as well. You know, you don't have a steady paycheck that you know you're going to get. You know, $80,000 a year or $150,000 a year.
Sure.
You know, you're going to earn what you earn. And you've got to go out and account for that money. It's not going to be handed to you.
Wow, I love that response, Jeff, that you just gave for so many different reasons. One, you know, it's funny. I haven't released it yet. I've been working on a study now for, you know, I teach for Kaplan University, and so one of the requirements is, you know, you have to get published like every so many years. And one of the studies that I'm working on, I'll have to share the findings with you when it's all done. But it's on franchising and entrepreneurship, and one of the biggest reasons that I found in the research was that, you know, a lot of people that go into their own business, one of the things that they like most is the decision to make their ability to make decisions on their own. You know, and I'm suspecting that a lot of them come from corporate America like you. You know, they were in corporate America and they didn't like maybe some of those decisions that they had to make sometimes, you know, and they like that flexibility as you mentioned, you know. And it seemed like for you, you know, you and I think have a lot in common is, you know, that family denominator, you know, is that you knew that was most important to you. You know, I mean, the ability for you to be able to go on those class trips and have breakfast with your kids and all those other things. I mean, that's, you know, in addition to the money, you know, that is a nice perk, isn't it? You know, that you can do all those things, you know. But, you know, I think that's such a great response is to know. It sounds like what you're saying, too, is it's important to know what your values are, you know, why you want to get into your own business. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think it's a very, very good point. I think everybody that gets into entrepreneurship has their own reason for it.
Right.
And I don't think it's the same across the board at all.
Right.
And I think once you kind of know what it is you're seeking and why you're seeking entrepreneurship, you can kind of try and find the way to fulfill that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, for me, money is the money is great, but the real value to me is what I've been getting, you know, the time I get and things I get to do with my little kids.
Right.
That's priceless. You know, you can't put a price on that.
That's fantastic. You said some other interesting things too, Jeff, you know, as we were talking about the cons, you know, is I guess, you know, one of the challenges I think also, and I agree with you, you know, in having, particularly when it's like a home-based type of business, which I know the barbecue cleaner, is it predominantly home-based, Jeff, or is it like more an office concept, or, you know, how does it work?
No, it's actually home-based, which is great.
It is, okay.
So, you know, obviously, overhead for people is extremely low. I mean, they're not going out and renting office space or,
right,
or retail or anything like that. No, it's home-based.
That's the beauty of the business, too, isn't it? You know, is that, you know, and you know this because, you know, being an entrepreneur, you know, is that you can really cut down on that overhead, can't you? You know, it's a nice perk, isn't it?
Yeah, we always say, you know, there's a lot of reasons we hear from our operators why, you know, they've been as successful as they have. But I always think one of the main reasons is what you just identified, Marty, is that the overhead in this business is extremely low.
I mean,
so your margins at the end of the day are pretty sky high. And that's always been one of the major ingredients for why this has been so successful.
You said something interesting too, Jeff, was the, you know, the – you're not really your own boss. I you know, one of my very first radio interviews before I you know, got into my own business, I was talking to a gentleman, and you know, I was telling, he asked me, this was a long time ago, and I said to him, you know, I want to get into my own business. I want to be my own boss. And he called me an idiot. And I was like, excuse me? You know, and he said, well, you know, your customers essentially become your own boss, you know? I mean, so if you have 300 customers, you have 300 different bosses, don't you? And, you know, some of them are nice, you know, and some of them are not so nice, you know? But I guess you're never really truly your own boss, are you?
No, you're right. And actually, it's a great point what you just alluded to in that, you know, you've got to be able to deal with all your customers well, and they're all different. You know, some of them will be very, I don't want to say easy customers. Some
sure.
of the difficult days, you know, some present different levels of challenges, and you've got to find ways to overcome them to keep them as your customers and at the same time keep them happy. So, yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, too, with the home-based business. I love the home-based business opportunities, Jeff, you know, but for me, you know, because I've been working from home now for it's like 12 years now up to this point. And, you know, it's like you said, I have trouble. My biggest problem is getting away from the office. You know, it's like always in front of me, you know, and I just can't seem to separate myself sometimes from the business. You know what I mean? And that's just a personal thing. I think one is because I just enjoy working, you know what I mean? And doing what I do. But, you know, I'm getting a little bit better at it, you know, but it seems like it's sometimes it's that 7 day a week because that office is right in front of you. So I tried to get into the habit of, you know, shutting the computer down or just, you know, not going by the office during certain days, you know. Have you had that experience yourself? Sometimes like trouble getting away from the office?
Yeah, and I think technology plays a huge part of that, right? I mean, I always joke with people that I'm married to two things in my life. One, my wife, Jessica, and the second is my phone. And you never get away from your phone. You know, your phone has your work email. Your phone has your text.
That's true.
Getting 7 days a week. So it is very hard to unplug. I have that exact problem. And if you find a cure for it or you find a medicine that works, Marty, you'll have to let me know.
That's true. And same to you. Absolutely. You know, we've been doing the show now, Jeff. It's going on. This will be our 10th year in November of doing the show, you know, and we've been through interesting economic times, you know, of entrepreneurship. But I mean, if we're just like focusing on, you know, the present time period, you know, 2016 going into 2017, would you say that this is a good time for people to start looking for their own business?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the reason for that is what you and I were just joking about is technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Right now, just a little bit with the barbecue cleaner, you know, there are so many cost-effective ways because of technology that our entrepreneurs across the country are able to market
right.
their business. So I think technology has opened up a lot of, you know, not only new ways to market and get business, but a very cost-effective measure compared to probably what it was 20 or 30 years ago when you really had a heavy reliance on print, which would
right.
be a lot more expensive. You know, obviously, the other thing now that is very popular and would also back up your claim that it is a good time to start a business is the mobile world, you know, people developing
yeah.
apps.
Yes.
That is certainly something that is going on every day. I feel like if you play around on the iTunes store or the App Store on your phone, you see pretty cool things all the time. And I the job market continues to grow in this country, which I also think there is a correlation to being a very good time to start a business in the sense that potential customers have disposable income more now than maybe in the past to spend. So it is. Yeah, I would agree with you, Marty. I think it's a great time to start a business right now.
That's fantastic. From your experience, Jeff, I mean, what's the hardest part of starting your own business? We find that, you know, from our listeners, I think a lot of them have a very difficult time getting started. I mean, they're so overwhelmed because there's just, you know, there's so much out there today. You know, there's so many business opportunities. There's so many franchise opportunities. And I think, you know, a lot of our listeners, they just get a little overwhelmed, you know, sometimes in their quest to, you know, start a business. You know, what is the hardest part of starting your own business from your experience?
You know, I think the hardest thing, and I, you know, we talk with people almost every day around the country that are looking to do it, and they're kind of debating whether they take the plunge into entrepreneurship. And I think the hardest part is actually taking the plunge and convincing yourself and taking the step. I feel like so many people have the desire and they know it's what they want to do, but they don't have the self-confidence or they don't take that step or the leap of faith. I actually think that's the hardest thing to do. It doesn't mean that everything else is easy. But I, you know, we talk to plenty of people that we think are great fits for this. And you can tell in the conversations with them that the thing that they struggle with is not, is this what I want to do with my life? It is. That's why we're talking in the first place.
Right.
But it's actually taking that leap of faith and doing it. I think that's actually the hardest part. To give you a little bit more, a different answer, which probably will be more for your listeners, you know, starting up is always, and this was the same with me 10 years ago, the startup phase of your business is always going to be the hardest. I joke
right.
with people a lot that if you can swim through the waters of your startup period, you'll find that it doesn't mean there will be no waves or currents once you get through it, but it should get a little bit smoother if you can kind of navigate your way through that beginning time.
Sure.
So, taking the leap of faith and then getting through that beginning period and staying focused and coming out of it and as much as you can in one piece, I think it will set yourself up for some possible long-term success.
There was a great art. It's one of the things that caught my attention with you as well, Jeff, was, you know, you, I think it was you who wrote the article. Was it taking the leap of faith into owning your own business? You know, we're gonna have to post that up on our website, but you spoke about that. You know, you spoke about the importance of confidence. And I like how you mentioned doing old fashioned due diligence. I mean, that's really what it's about, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's a time-consuming process, isn't it? But I think that's probably one of the things that really gives you that confidence is good old-fashioned due diligence. Would you agree?
Yes, completely. And now, speaking of due diligence, I think there's more tools and methods out there for you to do that than
yeah.
ever. Right? If you want to get information on something you're looking at, you could do a quick Google search and get a ton of information. You could
right.
pick up the phone and email people doing that business. You could contact them via phone.
Yeah.
There are so many various ways that you can do solid, constructive due diligence that in turn should make you feel comfortable taking that leap of faith if that is what the next step is going to be.
Right.
You are 100% right about that, Marty. And we encourage all of our prospective operators, if you will, all the time to do due diligence. Do it on us. What
right.
we want to do, our goal with our prospects, if you will, and we say this to them almost all, you know, every day, is to give you as much information as you need so you can make the decision that's best for you. We're a big believer in that mindset as well, that the more information we can give you, the more confident you're going to be in doing whatever next step is what you want to do.
That's terrific. You know, the barbecue cleaner has made it easier for people to get into their own business, Jeff, because what you have at the barbecue cleaner is a system, right? You know, and one of the guests that we've had on the show, I think it's two or three times up to this point. I don't know if you've ever read Michael Gerber's books, but you know, he talks about the importance of having a system. So you have pretty much done most of the homework for people who would like to get into your opportunity, haven't you? You know, they don't have to rethink the wheel. And that's the whole beauty of it. It's really one of the reasons why we created the show was, you know, being a big believer in systems, that you don't have to make the same mistakes that maybe you made in the beginning, you know, and you can also duplicate the same successes that you've had as well. And it makes it much easier to get into business, doesn't it, by having a system?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we use the word around here all the time, turnkey is the word that we like to use, in that everything that you need to get started for your business, you get from us. So it's not just the tangible things like the equipment, which of course you need, but it's a lot of the back end stuff as well. It's the marketing, it's the advertising, it's the sales tools, you know, how you go out and you get customers, how do you build the website. So yeah,
right.
You know, if you have the opportunity to get involved with any franchise really that you feel does a really good job at preventing you from having to reinventing the wheel, it's probably a good fit. You know, there's a lot of things there that's good. You don't want to go out and try and figure out everything. If someone's already done it for you and is allowing you the opportunity to replicate that success in your own market, you know, that's the name of the game. That's a wonderful thing for someone to pursue.
That's fantastic. In your own business, Jeff, I mean, what are some of the things you feel that you've done right that can be applied to someone else looking to start a business?
Oof, good question, Marty. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think we've done right is, you know, we have a business here where we have a lot of repeat clients.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not a one-time, you get a customer and that's not a customer you'll ever, that will use your service again. Maybe
right.
Like a, you know, comes to mind as a realtor, right? We bought
right.
a house a couple of years ago, my wife and I, but I'm hoping we're not looking to buy another house for 30 years. So, So, you know, what we've done is, you know, we have a model here where people are residual income. You know, they're using
right.
your service over and over again. I also am partial. I love the service business because I think people are always going to pay for service businesses. People are lazy. There's a lot of people with a lot
yeah.
of money in this world that will spend money.
Sure.
So I like the fact that we built something where you have the repeat clients in a kind of industry that is growing and will always be there. The other thing that I think we've done right is we've really given our operators everything that they need to succeed. I mean, they literally have taken the blueprint that we give them, executed it in their local markets, and have had success. And I think that's really one of the more, I should say, one of the things I'm most proud of is how we see that, you know, kind of rolled out all the time every year. Where people take the blueprint, they execute it, they use the support
right.
that we have, and kind of go, and the sky's the limit for them.
Yeah, the repeat business was something that really you know, caught my eye. You know, when I was studying the barbecue cleaner model, Jeff. You know, I think that's fantastic, and you know, those repeat customers, I'm sure they become testimonials for you as well, don't they? I mean, or referrals, you know, and it kind of just really explodes from there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and referrals, it's a great way. Testimonials and referrals are a great way as well to grow your business by using the power of your customer. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have customers now that use our service or use our operator service multiple times a year. So, yeah, it's very, very powerful.
And people are funny like that too, aren't they, Jeff? Like, you know, they see the barbecue cleaner, you know, in front of their neighbor's house, and they say, what's that? You know, you
yeah.
know, it's probably, you know, the neighbors get involved in it, you know, and the whole thing like that, you know, and it just kind of like, you know, grows from there. And you know, so there were so many things about your business model that I was just, you know, so impressed with, you know, so I think it's fantastic. I'm sure over the years too, you know, that you've been able to, you know, a lot of your operators have shared their best practices as well, you know, which I'm sure adds to the business as well as time goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And we take that information here. You know, that's very valuable when we get that feedback from our operators, and we take the knowledge that they give us or something that they did that works, and we pass it on to the other 148 people around the country to kind of keep everybody growing their business as well. So, yeah, very, very, very good information when we get that from our operators.
That's fantastic.
And Marty, one thing you just said, I just thought of a phone call I got on Friday. We had a guy on the West Coast that I was talking with on Friday, and he had been saying that, you know, he was doing a grill, I think it was middle of last week, and three of the neighbors had walked by when he was outside. And he said he had planned to be on that street for 2 hours, and he ended up doing those next three grills that day. So he was there for about 9 hours. Exactly what you just said. Just happened last week with one of our guys on the West Coast.
I imagine that's a common scenario, you know, for the barbecue cleaner, you know. So it just, you know, again, as I was studying the model, I said, wow, I said, this just makes so much sense. And then those customers become repeat customers, you know, and you look at the lifetime worth of a customer. You know, we were talking about this in my marketing class last Thursday, you know, is to, you know, you don't look at that one transaction, you look at the lifetime worth of that customer, you know, and it's really fantastic, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
That's great. So what other advice, Jeff, would you give to, you know, our listeners? You know, they're looking at being their own boss. I mean, where do you recommend they start?
Sure. You know, due diligence, the internet is a wonderful source to get information on all the different businesses that are out there. You know, it certainly would allow them to identify the right business for them. I think one of the things that we talked about earlier is important, you know, understanding what it is about entrepreneurship that is attractive to you and trying to find an opportunity that meets that and gives you the opportunity to fulfill that desire, that whatever that specific desire you're looking for is. You know, knowing your target audience, which also can be done through doing research. You know, you could do a lot of due diligence now before even spending a penny, which I think is great, you know. There's free research out there. You know, build a support network. I'm a big fan of things like the SBA, the Small Business Administration. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of guys and girls get started with us that have gone through the SBA. They're a great resource for them. And then the last thing I would say, you know, try to find something you're passionate about. Your passion will come through to your customers. If you show up and you're just not into it, they're going to feed off of that and know that.
Of course.
But and it's a lot more fun. Like you said earlier, you love what you do. I love what I do. I mean, you and I are both passionate about it. And I wake up every day and I like what I do. You know, Monday mornings are never a bad thing to me. I don't ever have the Monday morning blues like I used to have when I worked for, you know, 9-to-5 job. Monday mornings come around and I'm excited to get going.
I think you and I are kindred spirits. I've had, you know, and that's the analogy I use too, Jeff. You know, I ask people, I say, you know, how do you feel on a Monday morning or a Sunday night, even worse? You know, it's when I worked, you know, I was working for a Madison Avenue firm, and Sunday night would come, and I'd literally feel sick to my stomach. And I say, oh my God, I can't do this 5 days. You know, it was just, you know, it was doing well financially, but I was missing something in my life. You know what I mean? And I think I had to figure out what it was that I actually wanted, you know? So I think that's a great way of looking at it is, you know, how do you feel on Monday? And your Mondays sound like they're just as good as your Fridays. You know, not everybody can say that, can they?
Yeah. I used to joke that I had Sunday night depression when I, you know, years ago when I worked for that other company, it was like, you know, someone just punched me in the stomach every Sunday night. 'Cause I knew what the next 5 days were going to be like, but we don't have that anymore, which is great. You can't put a price on that.
That's fantastic. So what's the future look like then, Jeff, for the barbecue cleaner? I mean, where do you see, you know, the company maybe 3 to 5 years down the road?
You know, right now our goals are pretty much to keep growing the business across the country, giving people the opportunity to, you know, live their, you know, dream of owning their own business, you know, continuing to grow the business. We've had another stellar year here in 2016. We seem to just keep growing and growing. You know, we have some news coming up in the next couple months, which people should stay tuned for, which is going to be very exciting and will help us continue to grow. And then the other thing, you know, we continue to support our nationwide fleet. I mean, we are very active in staying in touch with them and kind of getting their feedback on what's going on, what's working, what's not working, and, you know, translating that message across across the fleet as well. So, you know, we'll just keep growing and keep giving people the opportunity to, you know, live their dream of running their own business through the barbecue cleaner. We've had plenty of success stories, and we're excited to keep continuing to add them up.
That's fantastic. What's the best way, Jeff, for our listeners to get more information on the barbecue cleaner? Should they go to the website? And what's the website address, actually, if you can give that?
Sure.
That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. They could do one of two things. They could go to the website, which has a lot of information on it, and it's very simple. It's www.thebbqcleaner.com. So that's www.thebbqcleaner.com, all one word. Or they can give us a call at 888-296-8368. What we do